Hello, welcome back to Talking Europe. A moment of truth for the European Union. The EU Parliament is set to adopt its negotiating mandate on Mercosur, after which talks on the final shape of the deal can start. The accord with Latin American countries would create a free trade area of more than 700 million people at a time when the EU is locked in trade conflicts with China and the US. But despite promises of safeguards for key European sectors, including farming, fears of being undercut by unfair competition have not gone away. So is this deal an unprecedented opportunity or a threat to key economic sectors in Europe? We're going to debate that with our two guests. Saskia Briquemont is a Belgium MEP from the Greens and is a member of the Delegation for Relations with Mercosur. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
And we're here also with Iuliu Vincler, a Romanian MEP from the European People's Party, and he's vice chair of the Committee on International Trade. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with you, just to hear why you think this is an important agreement for the EU. I think you've said that now is the time more than ever for the EU to diversify its trade relations.
It is, and just to understand this, we have to take a look at the geopolitical global situation. Not only geo-economical, not only the global trade, but the geopolitical situation. And then we have always to remember what it is the European Union about. We are about interests and also values. Do we wish to shift towards a world which is a power politics-based world, driven by China, driven by Russia, and unfortunately in this current administration also driven partially by the United States, or we want to have supporters and have friends and safeguard the rules-based global order, the rules-based geopolitics. And I think the second is the case. We need partners, and we have to look around the world for partners. Of course, after 25 years, it's not that we discover now that Mercosur countries can be our partners in a rules-based trade agreement. It is the fact that in the last years, we have introduced in our 25 years old negotiation our latest values, trade and sustainable development chapter, nature, environment, the Paris Climate Agreement, very important. So now we have all the basis that we finally close a deal which is good for our people, it is good for our economy. It means billions of euros in new jobs, in maybe better paid jobs, in value-added exports, including, very importantly, agri-food exports, which are a powerful part of our trade relation.
Saskia Briquemont, your reaction to all of that?
Well, it's a new argument today, saying that Europe needs new partnerships in the rest of the world in order to position towards the Chinese, the Americans, etc. Indeed, we need partnerships, but fair partnerships, sustainable partnerships. And this is not what the EU-Mercosur deal is about. The EU-Mercosur deal, first of all, will bring 0.1, at the best, percent of growth in GDP for the European Union. That's what is predicted by the Commission itself. Then, on the sustainable chapters, on the Paris Agreement, there's nothing really binding. So if countries drop out of the Paris Agreement, yes, we, the Commission, can decide to suspend trades. But this would be, I would say, a nuclear instrument that would be triggered and it would be never seen. And the Commission doesn't do that. We've seen it for other examples in other trade agreements where there are harsh violations of human rights and the Commission doesn't suspend trade relations in those matters. And then it will bring positive impacts for some sectors, automotive sector in Germany, chemical industry in Europe, in Belgium. But we will also export forbidden pesticides and chemicals for Europe to those countries, and they will come back for food. And that's what the farmer sector is also pointing at, the unfair competition that importing those products, agri-products, into the EU market will bring. Bad for the farming sector, but also bad for our health, because we will eat, and we already do it, meat and other agri products produced with forbidden chemicals.
Isn't the safeguard clause supposed to guard against this kind of thing. This is a hot potato at the moment, Julia Winkler, in the European Parliament, this question of the safeguard clause. What are your... Maybe just explain briefly for our viewers what it actually is and then your reservations about it or what you think is good about it.
The safeguard clause is a security mechanism. So basically there are two important situations. The one is about increase of imports, or yes, imports to the European Union in a specific sector for more than 10%, or decrease of prices in a specific sector for more than 10%. And in these cases, the Commission, which monitors the evolution of the markets, monitors the evolution of trade in certain sensitive products. We have meat, we have poultry, we have several agricultural products which are being monitored. And then we have the instrument of suspending trade, of intensifying controls and so on. Not only the safeguard mechanism, which is now on the table in the International Trade Committee and here in the European Parliament, but also several recent evolutions. For example, the Food Security Commissioner, Mr. Varhey, has presented a plan, I think it's a few days ago, in which he presents us the implementation of a special task force for monitoring imports to the European Union from food security point of view. This task force and this new mechanism will function for the next 2 years, starting 1st of January 2026, and it will monitor all the aspects that are also decried by farmers and by consumers, which are important aspects. I agree totally. We need monitoring, but we have the power to do it. We need a task force because some of the competencies are not EU-level competencies, but member state-level competencies. Mm. So we have in each member state, we have the authorities, but we have to, you know, to have a sort of synchronicity in their activity.
Do you think the EU has the power and the will to enforce any of these measures that your colleague is talking about?
Look, first of all, the safeguard clause for the agri sector is mostly made for France, because France was saying no. In the current state, we cannot ratify the Mercosur deal because of the protest of the farming sector. Farmers know the adverse impacts of this deal on their activity, on their prices, on unfair competition. And so France asked the Commission to draft, you know, a safeguard clause to protect the farming sector. Mm. This clause doesn't touch on the content of the deal. We cannot renegotiate the deal. We cannot amend it. So it's a standalone legislation at EU level. And we've analyzed it also with the farming sector, with the trade unions of the farming sector. And we all agree to say it's not effective. It cannot be triggered that easily. The thresholds are high. You need cumulative aspects and prices that needs to be very, very fluctuant. So we said, OK, we need to amend this safeguard clause in order to make it effective. But we're not sure this will fly at the council level, at the government level. So it's more show for France to be able to validate this agreement than a real effective mechanism protecting farmers.
So the safeguard mechanism, it doesn't deal with the pesticides problems, for example, that you were talking about earlier.
This is part of the amendments that we tabled to include this approach on reciprocity, kind of mirror clauses, and the need for the Commission to renegotiate, to integrate those mirror clauses and to ban the import of products that are made, grown with pesticides that are forbidden in the EU. But currently, nor in the treaty, in the trade agreement, nor in this safeguard clause is it included. And that's one of the main problematic aspects of this.
Yeah. Yes. So we'll have to see what happens with the proposed amendments to the safeguard clause, which are actually very important. Just on the whole farming aspect, Julia Winkler, the French National Federation of Farmers Union is planning a protest here in Brussels on December the 18th. We saw, of course, the previous big backlash by farmers. Do you expect that to come back if this deal actually ultimately goes through at the level of EU governments?
French farmers are coming on the 18th of December. Romanian farmers will join them.
Yeah.
I approve and I welcome those protests. I think farmers have some problems. But I think also that the problem of farmers is not the Mercosur agreement, is not the India negotiation, it is not the Australia negotiation, it is not the food, the poultry or the chicken or the sugar. The problem of the farmers in Europe is bureaucracy, is a misguided Green Deal, which now we have to roll back a little bit and bring it to reality. It is all the obligations and conditionalities that have been imposed in the last 3 or 4 years, which have to be rolled back on the ground of feasibility and reality. And the problem of farmers is the security of having a very good multi-annual financial framework after 2028.
Just a very quick reaction, because we're running out of time, Saskia Brickman, but yeah. Is the problem one of over-bureaucracy? Or is it actually a problem of Mercosur?
This is the whole dogmatic, crazy approach currently happening in this house, in the EU. It's the backlash on the Green Deal responsible for all the problems, all the economic problems. No, farmers are the first impacted by global change, by global warming. They're the first noticing the lack of biodiversity, the impact on their soils, the impact of pesticides. They want us to support them. They want us to help them in the transition to a new model. And what they face is problems of prices, of fair prices. They face problems also in implementing the laws, and we need to support them in that. They are the first ones to give a service to the nature. They need to be rewarded for that. And what they face now is also adding to the different layers of problems linked to the current agricultural policy at EU level, pushing them into industrial agriculture, is that we have the trade policy adding to their problems, unfair competition, import of food at lower prices than the ones that they can practice, although the price is already a problem for them. So it's a layer of problems. It has nothing to do with the Green Deal, and they are the first ones to say we need environmental laws. What we want is not to weaken the EU laws. What we want is fair competition, and if we import, that the imports are respecting the same standards as the ones that they have to apply in Europe.
Okay, I think we'll continue the discussion another time on the Green Deal and the farming sector, because it's obviously a whole other big chapter. But thank you so much to both of my guests for this debate, Julia Winkler and Saskia Brickman. Thanks for being with us here on Talking Europe.
Thank you.